From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They've left the field railing behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are fired behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12.
What a horse race. These two nose and nose to the wire. Beholder on the inside, Stella Wind on the outer. Stella Wind's going to beat her.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
The Betfair.com Haskell has turned into a thriller. An Exaggerator has gone right on by. A tremendous performance from Exaggerator under Ken DeSormo to win it by two.
Oh my goodness, look at Frosted today. Frosted 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely rubbed in the Met Mile. He was wrapped up.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
27 days, 6 hours, 23 minutes, and 51 seconds away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Santa Anita. Welcome to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. Our producer, Chauncey, Sean C., all together in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, and welcoming everybody joining us throughout North America, Sirius XM, Channel 93, and those of you tuning in on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and of course, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Happy to have you with us on this opening Saturday of the Keeneland Fall Race Meet. Racing kicking off yesterday for that fall meet, and it kicked off with a couple of graded stakes races. Both of those winning you're in for the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series. And JT, some thrilling finishes at Keeneland yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, it was quite thrilling. The Stoll Keeneland Ogden Phoenix Stakes, the oldest stakes in the United States. Fantastic race. Looked like the very short-priced AP Indian was going to get beat, but he came through, beat Limousine Liberal by a scant nose, and it was a
flared nostril,
as you say.
Well, it was the Tom Durkin line. I still love that line. Flared nostril.
Yes.
In the shadow of the wire.
If it wasn't flared, he would have gotten beat.
He would have gotten beat. The other horse's nostril would have been flared.
Right. Well, two horses can have flared nostrils at the same time. But in any case, Ben Colebrook did a great job. He added blinkers to Limousine Liberal. The horse ran his tuckus off, as Barry Irwin would say, and just got beat. That was a fantastic race. The Darley Alcibiades was kind of a interesting situation here for us on HRRN because the television feed everywhere froze, so we had no television. For that race, we actually had no call.
The Keeneland TV feed is what you're talking
the
about.
The Keeneland and Belmont TV feeds were frozen.
From Racetrack Network, all locked up?
Not only from, I guess, because they weren't on the websites either.
Right.
Everything went frozen.
Racing as it was meant to be.
Racing as it was meant to be. Not Keeneland's fault. That, let's blame it on the sunspots or something.
Yeah, well, it and that is common this time of year,
it
too.
It is common, and it was a technical issue, but we were able to call Kurt Becker at the track, and Kurt put his phone on speaker and we had the live call. We might have been the only news organization to have the live call of the Darley Alcibiades, but that was because of our relationship with Mr. Becker, and he did a great job. It was kind of cool listening to it. It was almost like listening to a race from the 50s because there was like that echo from the speakerphone in the background. It was cool, and it was an awesome race, and our friend Graham Motion, who may be on the show later, trained the winner, Dancing Rags. So I wish I could comment more on that race, but I didn't actually see it, but I heard Mr. Becker's call. And, Angel Cruz, there was a picture floating around Twitter last night that with him after the race and this glow on, and my wife Gretchen tweeted out that the look on his face after the Darley Alcibiades was what racing is all about.
Yeah.
And he was
a good rider.
Very good rider. He's done a great job on this horse, and congratulations to the Connections. That's a big win for a 2-year-old filly to capture the Darley Alcibiades and Union Rags. He's on a little bit of a roll. He's had a couple of stakes winners in the last week, and so hats off to Union Rags as well.
And if people don't know much about young jockey Angel Cruz, here's a kid, I believe he might be, what, 21 years old? I might be wrong. He might be 22, but either way, he's a very young rider in the game. He started, he got his first win April 8th of 2014 at Charlestown, and now making a name for himself on the big stage, winning at Keeneland in the Grade 1 Darley Alcibiades, native of Puerto Rico. So, you know, he comes from the same group as the Ortiz brothers. John Velasquez, another Puerto Rican native. Look, I mean, this just extends a long line of great riders from Puerto Rico. And Angel Cruz, congratulations to him. There's an opportunity that he may be with us on this program later in the first hour as well. You mentioned Graham. Graham is actually training horses here at Keeneland this morning. He has a set going out. He's going to try and join us after that set, kind of in between his sets, if he can squeeze it in. Same thing with Angel Cruz. He's working horses back in Maryland. He's already headed all the way back, and we'll see if we can get him on for a few minutes in between his workers this morning. So stay with us here in the first half of the program. We're hoping to hear from both of those individuals.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on today, a busy day of training, and now's the time weather becomes a factor. It's actually a little funky here in Lexington this morning, considering it was such a beautiful day yesterday, and this morning the wind's kicked up and the clouds are rolling in. It's supposed to be a decent day at Keeneland. Weather should not affect the racing surfaces or anything. We're not expecting any rain, but it's a lot different day than it was yesterday.
Record attendance yesterday at Keeneland, as you would expect. The temperature is getting right up around 80 degrees here yesterday. Couldn't have been any more pleasant in the bluegrass. Today, look, it's going to be another gorgeous day, so don't let the weather, the cooler weather, deter you. It's really going to feel like fall here today because we're going to drop into the upper 60s. So you take about a 12 or 13 degree drop in temperature overnight. And that's what we're looking at today. But fast, firm, not expecting any rain. Our coverage of all the Breeders' Cup Challenge action from Keeneland and from Belmont later today begins at 4 o'clock Eastern. We'll have it for you 4 to 6 Eastern time. You can listen right here on Sirius XM 93, streaming worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. And then tonight, speaking of Charlestown that I mentioned a short time ago, you can tune in to the West Virginia Breeders' Classic. That coverage with Anthony Stabile and Anthony Affronti comes up at 9 o'clock later tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern time, 9 to 11, that West Virginia Breeders' Classic. That will be streamed worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. So we're taking you basically gate to wire here this morning, starting at 8 a.m., wrapping it up at 11 p.m. on HRN.
That's a long day.
This is a long day. We're not doing it all, though. And we're here. We're going to do the Keeneland stuff, and then Anthony will take the ball and run with it tonight from Charlestown.
It's going to be a long weekend.
Yeah, tomorrow. Big races tomorrow at Keeneland, too. So, all right, how about this? So you have 8 winning-your-in races on the docket for this afternoon. 4 at Belmont, 3 here at Keeneland, 1 at Santa Anita with the Santa Anita Sprint Championship. Tomorrow you have the 2 winning-your-in races, including the Spinster, right here at Keeneland. So a total of 10 winning your ins over the next, 36 hours or so.
Yeah, and with the races yesterday, I mean, what is that, 16 stakes? I think it's 16 stakes here and Belmont Park.
Yeah.
Maybe more. And then you got the races at Santa Anita, too. So you got to keep copious notes.
And it's Teppan time at Keeneland today. We get to see Teppan go to the post yet again. She, of course, returning to the scene of maybe her greatest triumph in winning the Breeders' Cup Mile over the boys right here last year at Keeneland. We'll see her in action later today. And again, that race live with us exclusively on HRN, that coverage beginning 4 o'clock Eastern. We're going to visit with Teppan's jockey, Julian Leperoux, after our first commercial break this morning. And again, hoping to hear from Angel Cruz, hoping to hear from Graham Motion later in the first half of the program. John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, both going to be with us for the full second half of the show from 9 to 10 Eastern to handicap all the big races, both at Keeneland and at Belmont later today. Stay with us. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry, a 5-time Grade 1 winner viewed by many to be the heir to Dinah Former's global legacy, with first crop weanlings already realizing 6-figure sums at both Keeneland and Tattersall's in Newmarket. As a racehorse, Point of Entry was a truly great American turf horse, becoming the first since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths. A Hall of Fame ride it was. Point of Entry wins the Sword Dancer, and they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Point of Entry returned the following year to win the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf and Grade 1 Manhattan, and also displayed the ability and the pedigree to perform at the highest level on dirt. Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs in Paris, Kentucky. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
Here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what would be a common misunderstanding between an insured and the insurance company?
Mike, one issue is a policy condition that requires notification when an insured animal becomes sick or injured.
Do you mean in life-threatening situations?
Not just then, but if a veterinarian is called in for treatment other than routine care. Take, for example, if a yearling colt gets his foreleg caught in a fence and tears the skin. The coat is stitched up and everything seems fine, but later the coat develops a systemic infection. Then there is a serious situation that the company knows nothing about.
So the company needs to know, even if it's not a life-threatening situation.
That's right. It's a policy condition. The company has a stake in the health of the animal because of the existing insurance policy. The company might want to have its own vet examine the horse. In most cases, though, just a call or email is all that is needed.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races for the 30th running of the West Virginia Breeders' Classics on Saturday, October 8th. 9 races worth more than $1.1 million, headlined by the $500,000 West Virginia Breeders' Classic. Don't miss out on the excitement of the premier night of West Virginia bred racing, as the best horses the Mountain State has to offer will take center stage. First post time is at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's the 30th running of the West Virginia Breeders' Classics, right here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Teppan just off the leader's flank in second, top of the stretch. A gap of two more to Tourist, who swings to the outside third. Mishawish is fourth in the center of the course. Brand Arch fifth back toward the inside. And then Impassable Teppan has taken the lead, coming past the eighth pole. Obviously second, Grand Arch is coming late from third. But Teppan has a five-length margin and deep stretch. It is Teppan with Julian Leperoux. Mondial Least runs late to second. But Teppan has won the Breeders' Cup Mile. Mondial Lee's second, Grand Arch third. Mishawish was fourth in 1:36.35.
Champion Teppan winning the Breeders' Cup Mile over the boys last year right here in the Bluegrass at Keeneland. That was on October 31st. She is back in action later this afternoon in the Grade 1 First Lady. That's a race that she won last year prior to winning the Breeders' Cup Mile. And all she's done since that victory in the mile last year has rattled off 6 consecutive victories in graded stakes and even a trip to Royal Ascot to take the Grade 1 Queen Anne Stakes. Julian Leperoux has been aboard for each and every one of those races, and she could not have been any more impressive. Mike Pennant, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum on HRRN. And we do welcome in jockey Julian Leperoux to the program now. Julian, appreciate the time, my friend.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for riding Teppan and doing it so well.
Yeah.
Your pleasure, right?
My pleasure. You make my job very easy.
Boy, I guess so. What a special filly. Yeah, so special. I mean, she's just been incredible. What's it like when Teppan really starts to get rolling? What's it like to be aboard?
I mean, she's amazing. You know, she can go pretty quick the first part of the race, and what's impressive is at the quarter pole when you ask her, is like she just started. You know, she just kicked home. But no, she's a very, very good filly and very smart. She's just great.
Yeah, she's got a great turn of foot. I mean, you watch her and she just explodes at the end of every race. I don't know what to attribute that to. I mean, it's just a great running style, but she really seems to have more at the end than any filly I've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly. And what's more impressive is she does it being, you know, pretty close to the lead. So she has to walk at the beginning of the race just to be, you know, in a good position. And she still shows a great kick at the end. So, it is very, very, very impressive.
Julian, she's now won 8 consecutive graded stakes as she comes into this afternoon's First Lady. Has there ever been a time when you've been aboard her and you kind of turn for home and you go, uh-oh, I'm not sure if today's the day. I'm going to have to work a little bit harder with her. And then she surprises you and still wins the race.
I was a little bit worried at Tampa that day. And I think it was not really Teppan. It was, I kind of gave her a little bit too much to do. I didn't think Johnny's filly will be keeping up that fast. That late, so I was not really worried about her until I get to the quarter pole and I see Johnny still pretty far in front of me. But you know, she make up ground and win the race. So that's what the good horses do. You know, even if something didn't happen in a perfect race, they still win. So that was the only time I was a little bit worried.
Even in the Queen Anne, you weren't worried. The rest of us were.
No, you know, in a Queen Anne, you know, it was a little different. I was very confident. I thought she could win, but it was also such a big, not gamble, but some, you know, big deal. You know, big. Everything had to go right, you know, and everything did. So it was a big challenge, and it was just an amazing experience over there. It was incredible.
You know, Julian, every jockey that I've spoken with has always said, I get the confidence from the horse that's underneath me. And so obviously you have an awful lot of confidence when you get a leg up aboard Teppan. Mm-hmm. When you think about what she's accomplished and how special she really is there... I don't know. I don't even know if I'm asking this the right way. Is there more pressure when you ride a horse that's this good as opposed to a horse that's, say, 20-1, and if you win, that's great, but you're just trying to be close?
Well, the pressure comes, you know, everybody now expecting her to win. So it's where it comes to, you know. Now, you know, if she gets beat, everybody's probably going to have something to say about me, you know. but in a way, she, you know, I don't get really nervous when I just get on her. She's just very calm, and she's confident too. She's very relaxed, and she do her thing. And you know, she you know, even in England, you know, I was very anxious to be at the track. 7 o'clock in the morning, I was like, already, I have to go to the track, you know. Not nervous, but anxious. And, you know, as soon as I got on the track, I just felt like it was a morning gallop, you know, very, very relaxed, and took it as it is. And, you know, that's good. She her confidence made me confident, so that's good.
Yeah, you know, I was talking about you on the air yesterday with the mile and the 16th races on the dirt at Keeneland. You seem to have a tremendous knack for winning those races. It's kind of an odd configuration, and you know, you won one yesterday, and the way you rode that horse, it was so confident. And do you think that has something to do with it, or do you just have that knack of knowing where to move when the finish line is the short stretch?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. You know, I definitely know the track over there at Keeneland, but it's also the confidence comes always about the horses. You know, when they how good you feel on the backside. For that kind of race, 9-16 on the backside, you know already, you know, I think my horse going to run good. And, you know, yesterday she was just stuck. She was just dragging me around, you know, she was just doing it very easy. So, yeah, I mean, after that, you just got to stay out of trouble, and that's it.
How about that Keeneland turf course, Julian? When you look at what you've done in the First Lady Stakes over the years, in recent years, you've kind of dominated the race. You've won it more than any other jockey, having won it four times. If you can do it today, you'll add to the record with five. What is it about riding that turf course that just seems to suit you and your style?
I don't know. I think it's good horses. I mean, if you look at the horses I won the race with, you know, I mean, Pepin Forever Together, you know, that was very good fillies. So it's all about, you know, getting the right horse but the track, I love the track. I love Keeneland. It's my favorite track. So I just love it there for sure.
Why is it your favorite?
I think it's more about the people, you know, over there, you know, all the fans. You know, like on a Wednesday afternoon when there's not much going on, still a lot of people coming, and they love horse racing. They love, you know, seeing the jockeys and asking for autographs and pictures. And I think, you know, I think it's great. I think it's great for racing. And it feels good, you know, to go over there and have people loving what you do and asking questions about it. So it's fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great place for that. And I always think about one day when Pat Day was riding, and it was well after the last race, maybe over an hour, and he was still in the paddock signing autographs for people and you know, on the calendars that they gave away that day. And it was really cool to see. And I think a lot of the jocks, when they get to Keeneland, they know that there's an expectation that there's going to be some interaction with the fans and stuff. But you do such a great job of that. You're such a good ambassador for our game.
Yeah, well, I you know, it's just fun for me. I like it. You know, yesterday there was a bunch of little kids asking for goggles, and you know, and I mean, kids have been coming to Keeneland for many years now, and you know, I met them when they 3, 4, and now they, you know, 12, 13, and it's just crazy to see them, you know, growing up too. So but it's fun, yeah. It's definitely a good part about it.
Visiting with jockey Julian Leperoux here on HRRN, Mike Penn and Jude Feld on the Equine Forum. Julian, back at Saratoga, you and I were together for a PDJF event, the Jockey Karaoke event, which benefits the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, the official charity of HRN. And shortly after that time, you sustained an injury and had to take some time off. You were back just in time to ride Tepin in the Woodbine Mile. How much did knowing that, hey, you had to get back so you could be aboard her in that race, how much did that drive your recovery?
Oh, that was definitely my goal. You know, as soon as I fall off at Saratoga, went to the hospital, and the doctor told me, you know, you're going to be out for 4 or 6 weeks. That's the first thing I did is to take my phone, look at the calendar, and look at when was the race in Woodbine. And I was very confident I could make it. And, yeah, it was definitely my goal to come back for Tepin. I even told Mark Cassie, I said, you know, even if I have one arm, I think I can still ride her. He laughed. But no, it was definitely something I got in my mind. And I wanted to go back for the last week in Saratoga, but just came up a little bit too quick, and I was not really ready for it yet, so I just took another week off and started riding after that.
Well, I know you do a lot of time preparing for the big races, and really any race that you're going to ride, Julian. And when you look at today's First Lady, Teppan didn't scare too many rivals off, because you have to square off with 9 other challengers in here. Put me in the saddle with you this afternoon. What's the, not necessarily the strategy, but what's the thinking? What's going to allow you to be successful this afternoon?
Well, I mean, it is a good field, you know. The European comes. Bill Philly, Celestine is nice too. It's going to depend on the break, I guess. Teppan usually always break good. Knock on wood, she's going to break good today, hopefully too. You know, it's going to depend on what Junior Alvarado is going to want to do. I'm not sure if he's going to want the lead or track me. I'm not really sure yet. But we will know in the first turn where to be, and if he wants the lead, I just sit behind him, and if he wants me to be on the lead, I'll be on the lead. Well, we'll see what happens.
Do you ever talk smack in a race, Julian? Do jockeys get to do that?
No, not me anyway.
Do other jockeys?
Well, maybe.
Well, you got the advantage. You can always cuss them out in French, and they don't know what you're saying.
Except for Florent.
Only Florent. Yeah,
yeah. He's usually coming from way back.
Yeah. He's always behind me.
Yeah.
Julian Leperoux here on HRRN. Julian, we know it's a busy day, so we'll let you go, but we want to remind all of our listeners and let you know that as a guest here on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, and people can embrace their passion at embracetherace.com. And I know that you, just like myself, are huge supporters of Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, so we want to give you one quick second to let people know what they should be doing and why they should be supporting disabled riders, because to me, it's one of the best charities that we have in the sport of thoroughbred racing.
Yeah, I think it is too. You know, it's very important. As a jockey, for me, it's very important just because it could happen to me or any of my friends over there. So if jockeys that unfortunately can't ride anymore, you know, and they, you know, they have nothing else but our support with the PDJF. So we try our best to collect a lot of money for them and so they can live their life at ease. So yeah, for sure, it's very important to us, and I hope people can help us get some money for them, for sure.
Yeah, pdjf.org is the website if you want to learn more about supporting the PDJF, and you can also tune into our Jock Talk program every single Tuesday night here on the network at 6 o'clock Eastern. A portion of the proceeds from that show, which is presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, go back to support the PDJF. Julian, appreciate it, bud, and all the best this afternoon, and safe trip, my friend.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, Julian Leperoux here on HRRN. What a nice guy, huh?
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Great rider, great guy. Nice family.
I love the fact that he said that, you know, with the pressure and, you know, because you don't want to get her beat. And if you get beat, people are probably going to say some not nice things about him.
Yeah. Well,
how true is that?
That's part of the game. Yeah.
I wanted to ask him when he was talking about the fans at Keeneland and how nice it is because the people are so nice and they want you to sign autographs and everything. And I don't know how much he's ridden the Aqueduct in the winter, but I assume it's kind of the same situation
yeah,
there, right?
Yeah, it's always lovely.
if you get a horse beat as the favorite.
They
want you to sign an autograph when you come back, don't they?
Yeah, you know, I don't understand. I do my share of talking about jockeys. Sometimes I'm amazed.
You have a jockey ashtray.
More. I do have a jockey ashtray. where you flick the ashes into his head.
Well, you're a former trainer, so you can get away with it.
Well, you know, trainers and riders, you know, they're always at odds because the trainer has something in his mind and the jock does something else, and it's never a good scene. But
ask Jeff Bloom.
Yeah, Yeah. I can't even imagine. So, you know, you have these situations that pop up, you know, where the jocks are like, you know, what are they going to say to you? I mean,
no, you're right.
You know, and it's hard. It's a hard business. And I always try to remember that it's easy from the grandstand.
That's right.
You know, and it's different when you're in the three dimensions of race riding
and having to make a split second decision.
Right.
And
right.
Several times throughout the race.
And these horses are going, you know, 35, yep. 40 miles an hour, and you're right in the middle of the pack, and there's lots of things that can go wrong. There's very few things that can go right. We've all bet on horses. We all know about racing, and you know, so, and it seems like it's the jock always that gets the brunt of it, you know, and a lot of times owners don't realize their horse just isn't that good. It's not the jockey's fault. You know, you need to run in a better spot or whatever. So it's tough. It's a kind of a thankless job.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, still to come, looking for Graham Motion. He is going to attempt to join us later in the first half of the program. He has workers here at Keeneland going to try and squeeze it in between works. Just got word that Angel Cruz is working horses up in Maryland, not going to be able to make it here in the first half of the program. So we'll catch up with him and bring you that interview up the road. And we will look forward to visiting with Graham here in just the next little bit. But it is time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you each and every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. You go in, you see the Godfather, Tony Ottaviano, you see Mike Hendricks, all the great people at the Lexus Store. They are horse people. They want to be part of the equine industry here in Kentucky. And for more than a decade on this program, they have done that. They are the dealership of the equine industry. Go see him and tell him that the Baron sent you in and told you to say hello.
Saturday, March 12, 1966, marked the end of an era in thoroughbred racing. It was Act 3, Scene 3 for a jockey who went out the way it was meant to be, a winner. That day was, without a scintilla of doubt, the singular, most moving, dramatic day in the long and most illustrious history of Fable Santa Anita Park. Indeed, there was more feeling and emotion than you could cut with a proverbial fork. Yes, more than on March 4th, 1940, when Pappy, the great old C.S. Howard campaigner Seabiscuit, managed to score a victory in the Santa Anita Handicap on what amounted to three legs and a veritable mountain of courage after coming out of retirement. And yes, more feeling than when Citation, thwarted first by injuries and then by his brilliant adversary Noor, in his indomitable quest to become racing's very first million-dollar earner, finally made it on a golden California afternoon in July of 1951 at Hollywood Park. Because, you see, on this particular day, the final paragraph was written to an unbelievable storybook ending of the single most extraordinary saga of a jockey in all of racing's legend, lore, and mystique-filled history. On this day, that paragraph was written in capital letters and finished with an exclamation point. The gentleman who's the subject of this story was born in England, came to the racetrack out of a Canadian coal mine. Compositely, his career included 32,500 mounts, 6,032 winners, and a legacy among racing aficionados that lives to this day. In his final race, he was aboard George Royal, a Canadian bred at that, in a final twist of irony, and he won the San Juan Capistrano Handicap, with a ride that was a trademark of his uncanny talent and had stamped him as the riding great for most of the four decades as a saddlesmith. His final day in the iron, so to speak, was announced with dramatic suddenness. It was totally unexpected and was, in no small measure, responsible for Santa Anita's largest crowd of the season, 60,000-plus. George Royal, our subject's mount, had won the Capistrano the year before, but had gone unplaced in four starts during the 1966 campaign and was listed at nearly 7-1 with betting public at post time. This in spite of the sentimental attachment to the subject of this dissertation who was in the saddle. Most of those in the vast assemblage on hand felt this rider had chucked up his final victory when he booted home a horse named Chiclero in the fourth race on that day's card. And that victory had been scored in rather typical fashion for this little reinsman on the Bill Daily and then nursing his mount home to the wire. The camera and newsman duly recorded that bit of history, which, as it turned out, was not nearly of historic import it appeared to have been at the time. In the Capistrano, something warm and gentle and dramatic of the ilk of the Frank Capra classics of the cinema was about to unfold, As our man got a leg up in the paddock, the enormous throng cheered long and loud, and many openly wept for the little man who had provided countless thrills for the racing public all over the country. The little man bit his lip to keep from showing the tears welling in his eyes. The display of heartfelt adulation literally unbounded and heretofore unseen and unheard at a racetrack. While the race itself, Bobby Ussery took Plack to the front to set the early fractions and was still in the lead and drawing away from his nearest rival, Polar Sea. But now Hillrise, who was the post-time favorite, and George Royal both commenced to move together from off the pace. Hillrise could not stay with George Royal's strong move, and as George Royal moved boldly toward the front runners in the brightly glistening late afternoon California sun, track announcer Joe Hernandez got the crowd cheering and screaming like a clap of thunder with the dramatic unfolding of the race to the wire. George Royal was fourth, third, second, with only Plaque to catch in the drive to the wire. With less than a furlong to run, George Royal came abreast of Plaque, and those two raced right together, matching strides in a heart-pounding display of thoroughbred racing. In the very final jump, our subject was able to get his horse up to stick his nose in front of the wire, and a finish that left a huge throng absolutely agog. Our man came back to the winner's circle for the last time, dismounted, got on the scale, and began that long, last walk back to the jockey's quarters. Midst both tears and cheers of adulation, for a true champion. He'd gone out the way the script should have been written, a winner. That man and the story of that race were the stuff of which Shakespeare's dreams are made. He was Johnny Longden.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
But Frosted has won with ease in the Whitney.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destined right on the wire. And Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
Pretty City Dancer and Sweet Loretta together get the spin away.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet, a two-time champion sire and once again number one in 2016, more than $5 million clear on the general sire list. Tappet added to his lofty totals with two new grade one winners in the spin away at Saratoga as his daughters, Sweet Loretta and Pretty City Dancer, dead heated for the grade one victory. And Tappet's son, Tapazar, now has a first crop stakes winner as Tip Tap Tapazar closed impressively to take Monmouth's Sapling Stakes. Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tapazar retired sound and is represented by eight individual first crop two-year-old winners to date. Tappet and Tapazar standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
We feel like longer is going to be better for this horse, and we think that at the end of the day, he's going to be a two-turn horse. You know, we'd like to think that our year-end goal would be the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at two turns. And I definitely think that stamina will be, there'll be plenty of stamina, I believe, when we do ask him to run long.
That's trainer Eddie Keneally talking about Bitumen, who goes to the post in this afternoon's Claiborne Breeders Futurity at Keeneland. That's race number 8, 5:10 Eastern. You're going to hear it exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All that coverage beginning 4 o'clock Eastern time. We'll have the Win and You're In action from Keeneland and from Belmont Park, 4 to 6 Eastern, Sirius XM 93, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you in our Lexington studios here on the Equine Forum. Graham Motion going to join us right around 8:50 Eastern time. Just got confirmation that we will hear from Graham. Looking forward to that visit as he is no doubt still on cloud nine after that huge win in yesterday's grade one Darley Alcibiades on opening day here at Keeneland.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, that's a big win for a filly. Grade one right off the bat. A third start, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
just yeah. Now, too. Of course, she broke her maiden the previous race and then comes here and takes the Darley Alcibiades. Yeah. Paid a good price, too. 12-1.
Yeah. 12-1 on a Graham Motion. I keep telling people Graham Motion's a great 2-year-old trainer. Nobody
you
ever
do
believes
say that.
Me. I say it all the time.
You say that quite
him
often.
And Christophe Clement. They always talk about Pletcher and all that, but the other guy, the two guys, they don't have nearly the 2-year-olds, and they win with a huge percentage.
Yeah. Christophe doesn't get the respect he deserves. When you look at his numbers with 2-year-olds and with first-time starters, he does quite well.
He's just an awesome trainer all around. He can train anything, dirt, yeah. Turf, long, short, you name it. He's awesome. And Graham, you know, don't have enough nice things to say about him. So
yeah, I mean, what can you say? I mean, and here's Graham Motion, who earlier this week was in the news for the appeal that he filed with the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission and never got the opportunity to speak with the commission and to defend himself, so to speak. And they ended up fining him for that infraction. And you're talking about a guy in Graham Motion that has never in his career had a medication violation. And if every trainer in the sport of thoroughbred racing could represent themselves the way that Graham Motion represents this sport, we'd be in a hell of a lot better place.
Yeah, no question about it. And
is that normal protocol where we'll ask Graham that. Is it normal protocol where the trainer doesn't get to go before the board and defend themselves?
You know, it depends. It's state to state, but it's not surprising in Kentucky. That's just kind of how they run things here.
What's the point of an appeal? What do you have?
Well, he actually, it could have been way worse. I mean, you know, actually a $500 fine is not, you know, the end of the world.
Yeah. And what's the point of a $500 fine?
Well, that's a whole other question. Right. You know, it's like, you know, you see guys in the NFL, they get fined, you know, $15,000 if they wear the wrong color sneakers.
Right.
You know, but it's a whole different thing. Now, Graham couldn't afford the $500 fine, but there's other people that would cause them not to be able to pay their rent, you know, so you have to kind of look at
yeah, that's true.
Look at it that way. But, you know, it's a tough question, but there's nobody with, I don't think there's anybody with more integrity in our game than
no.
Graham Motion. So,
no. And forget about the fact that he didn't get the opportunity. He was, I think, very upset about the fact that he didn't get to state his case about what happened with that violation. And as he said, when you read the letter that he published this past week, he was playing by the rules that were outlined by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, and yet he still got whacked.
Well, ask Buff Bradley about that.
Yeah.
you know, I mean, losing $1 million is a, you know, that for the Bradley family, that was a little bit of a hit.
You think?
You know? So, yeah. The guidelines are that. They're guidelines, but they're not rules. It doesn't say that if you give this horse whatever medication 7 days out that you're going to be fine. You know,
right?
It doesn't say that.
Well, and that speaks to the bigger issue in the sport of thoroughbred racing, and one that we've talked about multiple times is, and we'll do more of that as we move forward here, the medication issue and having the non-uniformity of that particular
issue.
I mean, across the board. Every state's different.
We need uniformity, but that's correct. Not a uniformity issue. That's a metabolizing issue. It's what each horse does with the medication.
There you go.
And you can give a horse... One horse is, you know, maybe 4 or 5 days. Another horse maybe 7 days. Another horse maybe 10 days. You know, it depends on how they metabolize whatever it is that you give them. And we're talking nanograms, one right. billionth of a gram.
Right.
So most of these things aren't even they're not you know, causing any different results in races. It's kind of silly when you actually sit down and think about that.
And I think that's the fact that Graham wanted to bring to light before the commission and never got the opportunity to do so.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll ask him about that. He's going to join us in just a few minutes.
There must have been some testimony that he gave off the record. He just didn't get to speak at that particular meeting,
right.
I think.
Okay.
But, you know, the whole thing, when you think about one billionth of anything, you know, I mean, one billionth of B. Wayne Hughes's fortune. Let's think about that. We'd probably be able to go out to dinner. We might be able to go to Tony's for a nice steak, right? I mean, it's so.
I'm going to Tony's this week, by the way.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I
can't wait.
It's a great place. But, you know, I mean, it's so infinitesimal. That it's the whole thing's kind of silly.
All right, I want to tell you before we get to this next break and then Graham Motion coming up momentarily, I want to tell you that if you are in the market for an off-road vehicle, whether it's for your farm or whatever the case might be, the only place to go is MLS Power Sports. They are Kentucky's largest Arctic Cat dealer and Central Kentucky's largest pre-owned off-road dealer. I recently purchased my ATV through MLS Power Sports. They're in Georgetown, Kentucky. And trust me, the experience was unbelievable. It is a great place to get your best deal on your new side-by-side or ATV. You can visit Mark and Trish. It is very easy to do. You go to MLS Power Sports in Georgetown. You can call them, and they are open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., or, of course, all the time on the web at mlspowersports.com. But I can't recommend them more highly. They treated me like gold, and it was really just an amazing experience out there at MLS Power Sports. And I got a great deal, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is the most important
thing. How's the farm going?
So far, so good. Got a few pictures on trail cam.
Yeah.
A couple of bucks walking around there. That's a good thing.
Always good to have a couple of bucks.
Now they just have to be there when I'm there, sitting in the tree. All right, we're going to get to a break. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery.
Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Bred for greatness and a brilliant grade one winner on the track, Airdrie Studs Creative Cause is giving every indication that his may be a very special future at stud. Already represented by the undefeated and dominant Landalusie Stakes winner, the one we waited for, Creative Cause currently sits second on the first crop sire list, and with impressive maiden special weight winners throughout the nation, appears poised to lead this banner stallion crop in 2016 and beyond. Airdrie Studs Creative Cause. Think about it.
Maryland breds are your formula for success. Be part of a breeding program in a state which offers competitive purses, 30% breeder bonuses, 30% owner bonuses, and year-round racing backed by state legislators creating pro-breeding and racing legislation, all supported by a working cooperative between the racetracks, horsemen, and breeders. It's time to own a Maryland bred. Better stallions, better mares. Maryland breds. Learn more at MarylandThoroughbred.com.
Claiborne Farm presents Algorithms. The son of Bernardini was undefeated, including a dominant five-length victory over champion Hansen in the Holy Bull. Full or half-brother to four graded stakes winners, Algorithms has the pedigree, the speed, and the class to become the next star in this sensational sire line. His first crop two-year-olds have posted lightning-fast breeze times and sales up to $180,000. Algorithms at Claiborne Farm.
Make sure your horses shine at the sales with the highest quality hay and straw from Washington Hay Company. At Washington Hay Company, you'll find beautiful bright straw, top quality Timothy hay, and their soft leafy alfalfa, all from Washington State. And their unparalleled personal service ensures they'll be by your side every step of the way at your most important time of the year. So let Washington Hay worry about the hay, straw, and shavings while you present your horse. So call Brad Green today, because if your horse had a phone, they would call Washington Hay Company.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
That rejoin music's right up your alley, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Love the surf guitar.
Is that Dick Dale?
No. Who is that, Chauncey? Chauncey doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
I can't remember.
Some dude with a guitar. 27 days, 5 hours, 32 minutes, and wait for it, 55 seconds away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Santa Anita. We will be there as your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup. Make sure you check out horseracingradio.net for a complete Breeders' Cup week schedule as we bring you all that coverage beginning on Tuesday morning live from Clocker's Corner at Santa Anita, and we take you all the way through the Breeders' Cup Classic right here on HRRN. Well, one person who is hoping to be there and probably will is trainer Graham Motion, and he is with us now here on HRRN. Graham, appreciate the time on a busy morning.
No problem. Happy to do it.
First of all, congratulations on the big win yesterday in the Darley Alcibiades. Well done.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. I've never won a race of that caliber with a two-year-old, so it's and to do it here at Keeneland is extra special.
Dancing Rags, of course, the name of the filly. Angel Cruz was aboard. She wins by about a length at odds of 12-1. Take me through the race. What was going through your mind as you're watching her storm home?
I got to be honest, I felt very confident. I thought Angel had her in a great spot down the backside. I felt she was traveling very well. I thought, kind of looking behind her, some of them weren't traveling as well as she was. And, I thought he gave her a great ride and in a perfect spot. I really felt very confident as the race was running.
Cat's out of the bag now. I go around telling people what a great two-year-old trainer you are, and now you go win a grade one, so my profits are going to go down next year, I can tell you that much. But it was great to see. I mean, it's such a big move for that filly in particular, and makes her pretty much priceless at this point.
It's funny because I do think that we hold our own with the two-year-olds, and I think it's probably not surprising that we tend to get two-year-olds that are bred more for distance. We don't necessarily get precocious ones. So, I mean, this filly, she just keeps improving. Mrs. Wyeth bought her down at the OBS sale, and, she just keeps improving. I really hadn't even thought about running her until sort of a week before the race when I just kept seeing how well she was doing, and it looked like a very open race on paper.
Graham, how would you describe your philosophy when it comes to training two-year-olds?
It's very simple. I mean, I feel very strongly that you should go on with them as two-year-olds. But if they give you any signs that they're not handling it, you know, you've got to be prepared to back off and be patient, because I think that's when you can mess them up, is by pushing them when they're not handling it. So I'm a big believer in pushing them to the point of when they tell you that they don't want to do it, and then giving them, kind of easing off them and letting them grow up.
Yeah, it's very important, I think, to get those horses going and help them with their bone density and stuff. But that's really the key, and I wish more people had your philosophy. You do such a fine job with all the horses that you train, but I've definitely noticed your skill with two-year-olds, and it's really impressive.
And I think the flip side is some people overreact and they want to turn them out for a year and what have you, and not push them as two-year-olds. I think that's a mistake. I think the point you make is that they need to be pushed to a certain extent to build up the bone density and what have you.
Well, speaking of two-year-olds, you send out Holiday Bonus in this afternoon's Claiborne Breeders Futurity. That's going to be race number 8 in a race that's part of our coverage this afternoon on HRRN. Here's a horse that's run twice and was beaten just a neck in the Sapling at Monmouth last time out. Gets Lasix today. You add blinkers to the package. Tell me a little bit about Holiday Bonus.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been one of the colts that kind of showed the most from the get-go. Jane Buchanan, who works for me, bought him as a yearling. He's a very attractive type of horse, and also always had a very good attitude. He's just always handled everything well. I thought perhaps when he made the lead in the sorority last time, he got to looking around a little bit, and perhaps that cost him the race. But look, I think both his races have been very good, but I think this is a deeper field than we saw yesterday.
Yeah, it's pretty tough, but I think your horse looks like a reasonable shot in there. He's been very willing and game in his performances, so I wouldn't rule him out.
No, I like the post. I like that we got Jose to ride him. I think those are big pluses. He's done well, and this has kind of been in my mind for him for a while, as opposed to with Dancing Rags, where it was more of a sort of last minute idea.
Well, your busy afternoon continues in the following race, Graham, the Shadwell Turf Mile, where you have two entrants with Ring Weekend and Miss Temple City. Tell me about each of those horses and how they fit in this race this afternoon.
Well, first of all, it's tough for me to be running them against each other, because they're probably two of the best older horses in the barn. They are the two best older horses in the barn, and both of whom, I'm very fond of both of them. But it's $1 million race. It's a win and you're in, and I feel like they're both coming up to the race great. We really weren't crazy about running against Teppan again with Miss Temple City. We ducked her in the spring, and that worked out. We got a lot better break with the weights in the spring than we get this time. So that would be, that's a concern for sure, running against the boys.
Yeah, she's a proven filly, and she's been a little bit unlucky, but this is a little bit tougher race, I think, than the one she ran in the spring.
I agree 100%. I mean, I'm so frustrated for this filly. I think she's one of the best fillies I've ever trained, and I feel like her last three races really don't give a true sign of her ability or even how she's run. I thought she was very unlucky in the Diana. She got beat maybe a neck and just didn't have the perfect trip. It wasn't a terrible trip, but she had to wait a split second at the top of the stretch, and I think it cost her the win. Last time we ended up chasing a crazy pace scenario with the rabbit in the race. The key for both these horses today is that they settle, that they're relaxed, and hopefully there'll be some pace in the race.
We're talking with trainer Graham Motion here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Graham, just a short time ago, Jude and I were talking about the letter that you had sent out earlier this week, and you made headlines based on the KHRC ruling, which kind of went against you with a fine for the Grade 3 Bewitched Stakes victory last year. We were trying to figure out if that's normal protocol for a trainer who is filing an appeal not to be able to go before the board. Is that normal protocol in the sport of thoroughbred racing?
You know, I mean, it's a little misleading, because I had had a hearing with a hearing officer, and that's the way the Kentucky Racing Commission sets it up. So I had, in all fairness, had a pretty prolonged hearing. But I felt that, it was my prerogative to at least speak to the commission, who were then deciding on my fate at that point. I mean, I'm on a committee in Maryland that's it's a medication committee set up by the Maryland Racing Commission, and they actually asked me to be on this committee, and I came to a Kentucky Racing Commission meeting, and I wasn't even allowed to speak, and it just seems like not a particularly fair way to do it. Apparently, it's written in the rules. I think it's a rule that should be changed. I don't see how it makes sense that you can't speak at your own when decisions have been made like that about you.
Yeah, I think you're right, and it's very typical of the way Kentucky does things. Sometimes they put the cart before the horse, and I don't understand it. But most jurisdictions, I think they would let you speak when they're deciding your fate.
So. Yeah, but doesn't this speak to the much bigger issue in thoroughbred racing and the fact that, number one, we talked about the uniformity issue and that every state is completely different in terms of their recommendations and their rules and their regulations, and then just the way that they handle the appeals is completely different from state to state?
It just seems like not a particularly fair system. I mean, the hearing I had is with a hearing officer, which is chosen by the Racing Commission, so it very much is in favor of the commission. And I, you know, all I wanted was 2 minutes to talk and explain my concerns about this medication. This is a medication that we have way too many positives for in Kentucky. In my opinion, there's an issue with this medication, and I think we need to get to the bottom of it and figure out why that happens, because I very strictly followed the guidelines that we were given and then some. And I never denied that my filly was on Robaxin. She was absolutely on Robaxin. I took her off 7 days before, and I thought that was well within the guidelines and is well within the guidelines. And I just think, you know, we're getting tripped up here by the rules, and I think that's a shame.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And when we're talking about these amounts of nanograms that are so infinitesimal and have absolutely no bearing on the outcome of a race, I think it's really pitiful.
A nanogram is a billionth of a gram. I mean, it's an extraordinary measurement when you think about it. And I really think that there needs to be a change here, especially with this particular medication.
Graham, how do we correct it?
Well, I think that we need adjustments for the guidelines is the most important thing. And I also think that this is just too low a measurement. And ultimately, the best way to correct it is, like you say, to have national rules and guidelines. It's probably a pipe dream, but that's what our industry needs so badly. It is so difficult for a trainer like myself that is constantly running in different states. It's like going to different countries and running under different rules. And, you know, you stay up at night worrying about it and trying to keep everything straight. And even the vets sometimes are confused about the guidelines. Not to mention the fact that there's been a lot of changes recently. And I think all changes are good. We just need to get on the same page and try and have more uniform rules and guidelines. This filly ran in California, she ran in Florida, and then she ran in Kentucky. Every time she was treated the same way, and when we came to Kentucky, we got tripped up by the system, and I think that's a real shame.
Well, it's a tribute to your program that you've run horses at so many different racetracks, and you never had a positive up until this thing happened. So, I mean, you're of all the trainers in the country, you seem to be doing a great job with this, and yet you're the guy that gets penalized. It's really bizarre.
Well, and I think it was also for the other guys that haven't been able to maybe complain about the system, not even complain, but just to appeal their decision. For the guys that just take the penalty, because it's so expensive to appeal these things, and if you don't appeal, I don't think you get the attention. And believe me, I don't want the attention about this. It's not what I'm looking to do. But it's something I feel very passionate and strongly about, and I just think we need change. And if the only way to get that is to bring attention to it, then that's what needs to be done.
Well, Graham, I said it to Jude earlier. I'll say it when I have you on the phone as well, that if every trainer in the sport of thoroughbred racing represented the game that way that you do, that we'd be in a heck of a lot better place. So thanks for doing that, and thanks for joining us here this morning. All the best later this afternoon.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
All right, Graham Motion with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. John Gasper and Steve Castagnola are in studio with us. They're going to join us for the full second half of the program. We're going to handicap all the big races at Keeneland and at Belmont, maybe even take a look at a race at Santa Anita. Who knows? If we get time, we'll try to do that for you as well. We're going to get to that in just a moment, right after we remind you that next Sunday, October 16th, you can watch and wager on the Pattison Canadian International live from Woodbine Racetrack as the best horses from around the globe compete for a purse of $1 million on the world-renowned E.P. Taylor Turf Course. Woodbine will be offering large guarantees of $150,000 on the early pick four and $250,000 on the late pick four, plus 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, I love to say that, Superfecta pick three and pick four pools that afternoon. So why not give the Woodbine Racing a shot and the big day, the Pattison Canadian International, and play that jackpot high five as well. It's your chance at a life-changing score. Watch and wager on the Pattison Canadian International, Sunday, October 16th, post time 1 p.m. For more information, visit woodbineracetrack.com. And we're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And California Chrome is threatening to turn this one into a romp. Victor Espinosa hasn't even thought about the stakes. One of the greatest performances you'll ever see. California Chrome in a canter.
It is Sweet Loretta. Pretty City Dance is still coming. And here she comes with the outside. And Sweet Loretta together in the spinaway.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Amis Gizmo in front, but here comes Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Parou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
At the 8-hole, Songbird begins to stride away. Karina B is second. Catherine Sophia laboring back in third. Here she is, folks. Just a magnificent blend of grace and power as she comes to the finish. Songbird, a picture of perfection.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on. A very busy morning here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Lexington studios, getting set to look at all the big racing action coming up this weekend at Keeneland, at Belmont, and even at Santa Anita. You have eight Breeders' Cup Challenge races on the docket for this afternoon. You have two more tomorrow at Keeneland. We have 27 days, 5 hours, 18 minutes, and 7 seconds until the Breeders' Cup World Championships return to Santa Anita for yet another year. It will be a record number of years that the Breeders' Cup has been held at the Great Race Place.
Yeah, well, no better place to hold it, in my opinion. It's
spectacular.
Spectacular, great weather as a rule, and love having the Breeders' Cup there. Our man Kyle Cooper, who listens to the show all the time, said the song that was played back before Graham Motion was Walk Don't Run by The Ventures.
Ooh, so there you go.
In case anybody was racking their brain about that.
Good call.
There you go.
All right, good call. Steve Castagnola, John Gasper, they're with us in studio, which they have been doing on this program long before I even came on board, going back to the days of my mentor, Pete Coolis. And guys, here we go again. Happy to have you in studio with us this morning, Stevie. Good morning.
Thank you, Mike, Jude, John, Chauncey. Actually, my 16th consecutive full Keeneland meet on the Horse Racing Radio 16. Network. And
wow.
I was just thinking about that, and it's something I sincerely look forward to. This time of year to rejoin you guys.
Johnny, welcome, my friend. Now, you go back even further than Stevie, right?
Yeah, back in probably the mid-'80s.
Wow.
You know, when we were doing it outside in the secretary's office there, just out in the hallway.
You know, it's funny. I almost thought about doing the program from there this morning just for old time's sake. I said, well, maybe bring Donato back out.
probably
That
not,
would have been the toughest task, yeah, getting Donato out of bed at that hour.
The only problem we had out there is there's so much traffic out there.
Yeah.
It was hard to, the audience was listening to the background
right.
noise and stuff. But it was good because we would grab, a trainer or a jockey that we didn't even think about having on the program. You know, they'd be coming in, or, you grab him, and like Richard Mandel's got a horse in today. You'd see him come on over here and tell us about that. So it worked out pretty well after all. But I think that then it was a half-hour program.
Yeah.
And Pete used to do it during the week. during race days on the week. I think he used to have like a 10-minute program.
He would have a 20-minute program.
20 minutes, yeah, is that what it was?
When I first started 14 years ago now, yeah. I was starting with that program with Pete, and we would host it from the racing office at Keeneland every morning during the meet. I don't believe we did it on dark days, but it was every racing morning, 20 minutes, and it was more of a educational type of show where you had a trainer come on and talk about the different types of equipment they would use and jockeys, and they would do the same thing. It was really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, did you give the scratches?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Can't remember back that far?
I don't. I'm trying to remember what the heck happened in the first hour this morning. Oh, yeah, Julian Leperoux and Graham Motion. And that podcast of this program will be available at horseracingradio.net. All right, all the particulars are out of the way. We can now focus on handicapping. And, guys, a huge, huge day at Keeneland. All the greatest stakes racing. And, of course, all those winning your in races, three to be exact. Stevie, I guess we'll start with you. The Grade 3 Woodford. We'll let you kind of take the race. John, we'll throw it to you for the next race. And if you guys have a quick little parting shot afterwards, you can go ahead and toss it in there. Steve, what do you think?
Well, always one of the more entertaining races held during the meet, the 5.5 furlongs on the turf course, and draws a full field of 12 with two also eligibles. And I'm actually going to make the 6 front pocket money my selection in here for Steve Asmussen. House jockey Ricardo Santana takes the mount. This is a 3-year-old gelding by Uncle Mo who takes on elders today. He's raced previously against older horses with success. He probably needed his last race back in the Allied Forces. He was third, just beaten a length and 3/4. He didn't have the greatest trip in that race. That was coming off about a 3-month layoff. And 12-1 on Steve Asmussen. You can't fault Uncle Mo as a sire as far as versatility. And I think that he offers value in a race that's going to be very much a jockey's race. I think that tactically this horse could be placed anywhere. Obviously, we've got Undrafted, who will draw a lot of attention, a $1 million earner, in addition to Mongolian Saturday, who always is a popular horse with his connections who dress in Mongolian attire. But as far as making a selection in here, I will go with the 6 front pocket money in the Woodford.
Yeah, Mongolian Saturday, a horse that we know loves this turf course, won the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint last year here at Keeneland. So we'll see if he can pull it off yet again. Johnny, do you agree or disagree?
No, I think it's, you know, if you like something in there, it's go. I think it's wide open. I think anybody's got a chance. It's a trip. I think it's another one of those trip things. I kind of give any kind of, if you like a horse toward the outside, I think you're a little bit, have maybe a little bit of an edge. But I think any one of 5 or 6 could win that thing.
Yeah, it's a wide open race. I mean, Undrafted's home. This is his home track, and he, you know, he's been training great, so he's probably going to be tough to beat if he gets any kind of trip. He's has to worry about pace and traffic and all of those things. An interesting horse, since John mentioned the outside, is the 10 Galton. I mean, he's a horse that's really run up the ladder for Tom Amos, but he's in great form right now, so he might be a horse to throw in your trifectas.
All right, well, the Woodford is going to be followed by the Thoroughbred Club of America. That's a Grade 2, 6 furlongs on the main track, purse of $250,000. 8 horses were entered in this one, and it kicks off our coverage at 4 o'clock Eastern this afternoon on the Horse Racing Radio Network, right here on Sirius XM 93 and streaming at horseracingradio.net. Johnny, how'd you see the TCA?
Well, the favorite in the race is Stonetastic, trained by Kelly Breen. She's 6-5 on the morning line, draws number 2 post with Paco Lopez, who's, if you look down on her chart there, she's got a lot of ones on her chart. She's extremely fast filly, and I would be surprised if she, again, does not have the lead early in the race. She's racked up several wins, but, I mean, she runs well. She either looks like she either runs when she runs big, she just wins off, or when she just kind of, I don't want to say throws in a clunker, because she never throws in a bad race, really. But, you know, I mean, she's been favored many, many times. If you look down there, it's 3-5, 2-5. I mean, she's been in the right spots, let's put it that way. And she's pretty well traveled, too. If you look back, Monmouth was her last race, Parks, Churchill Downs, Gulfstream. So she's been around, and I don't think the track surface will make any difference. And yesterday, it looked like to me that speed was holding up pretty darn good yesterday. So she's probably going to be the horse to beat. But the interesting horse to me is the five horse Bendable for Richard Mandela, bringing her in from California, where she's a lightly raced filly. She's only run four times and had three wins in a second. So she's one of these horses that I would say is kind of on the improve. You don't see Mandela bringing horses in here too often. It is owned by Claiborne, and I'm sure that has somewhat of a bearing on why he brought her in here. But and Jose Ortiz gets the mount on her today. She's at a nice price at 6-1. Is going to be my top choice, actually. It's 6-1. I don't know whether she'll get off at that, but I think that she's going to have some say-so in the race, and she's drawn a good post in post five. Right underneath her or outside of her is Fioretti, and she was the winner last year of this Thoroughbred Club. If you remember Sophie Doyle, and I think you had her on the program shortly after that, and she's such a nice girl, and she kind of got her back on track last time. She won the Open Mind at Churchill. It was muddy that day, but she still won it. And prior to that, she hadn't won a race back until she won this race last year, or last fall, rather, here at Keeneland. So
yeah, that's a 17-1 too.
Yeah, and she was a big prize. I'm sure, and she's 8-1 on the line. And like I say, I think she'll probably be somewhere around that. Really, I think those three horses. Sarah Siss has been a good horse. I'm not sure she got back. She won her last race in, up there at Presque Isle on the Tapeta. She's been running both ways. Her last two wins have actually been on the Tapeta, and then you look at her two Saratoga races, and they're somewhat to be desired there. Of course, they were tough races, both of them. But she certainly has it wouldn't surprise me if she wins. But, again, I'm going to stick with Bendable as my top choice at 6-1. Chad's horse, Iris Jasper, I think is going to have a chance. She drew down inside. We'll see, but Stonetastic is probably the horse to beat. She'll be in front, but again, Bendable will be my top choice.
Yeah, better price for sure.
And I feel very, very strongly about Bendable in here. I think that this is a filly with a serious future. I don't think that she'll be 6-1. Very atypical of Richard Mandela. She debuted in June of this year, running against older horses in a straight maiden, went off at 14-1 and probably surprised a lot of people. Richard Mandela, not known as a first out win type trainer. This filly's only defeat came against Luminance, and Luminance herself was second to Stella Wind in the Santa Anita Oaks. So no fault there. She beat a very good filly last time by the name of Enola Gray, who was turning heads in Southern California. And take a look at that last work, 46-4, a bullet of 49 before she got on the plane to come out here. Bendable, I think, is a big-time filly. And I don't think you'll see anything close to 6-1. And runs without Lasix for Claiborne Farm and Richard Mandela. But I am very, very excited to see this filly run. I think she's got a big, big future.
You on the Bendable bandwagon too, JT?
Yeah, well, you know, it's much easier to get Donato out of bed at 6 in the morning than it is to get Richard Mandel on a plane and go anywhere. So that, to me, that spoke volumes. And I agree with John about the Claiborne thing. They might have put a little pressure on him. I don't know if they're going for the vase now or the whatever.
Been here. I saw him couple days ago, so he's been here. He and his wife have been here for a few days.
Richard likes to come to Kentucky, but I mean, he doesn't run much out of town, so this is an interesting play today.
All right, two down, three to go at Keeneland. We'll look at those three races in our next segment, but before we get to the break, it is time for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Creator retired to stand in Japan. That's what the headline reads. Creator, the three-year-old colt by Tappet, who won the 2016 Belmont Stakes and Arkansas Derby, has been sold by Windstar Farm and Bobby Flay to the Japan Blood Horse Breeders Association. The JBBA intends to retire him from racing to stand stud in Japan for 2017. And that Blood Horse news update, as always, brought to you by the Blood Horse. And don't forget that When you look at Blood Horse Magazine, you're going to get the thoroughbred industry's premier weekly publication, celebrating 100 years of covering racing, breeding, news, and more. If you're not reading Blood Horse, then don't miss another issue. Sign up today at bloodhorse.com/subscribe. And we're back with more analysis of the big races at Keeneland next here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, the seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic-producing sire with his first crop.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Parou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
In addition to Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs, Gio Ponti is also represented by exciting Grade 1 winner Dre Fong.
Closing on the outside, then Summer Revolution and Mind Your Biscuits. Dre Fong rolls home in the King's Bishop.
And Castleton Lion stallion Justin Phillip retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings enter the sales ring this year. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races for the 30th running of the West Virginia Breeders' Classics on Saturday, October 8th. Nine races worth more than $1.1 million, headlined by the $500,000 West Virginia Breeders' Classic. Don't miss out on the excitement of the premier night of West Virginia bred racing, as the best horses the Mountain State has to offer will take center stage. First post time is at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's the 30th running of the West Virginia Breeders' Classics, right here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Mark your calendar for the inaugural Spendthrift Stallion Stakes October 30th at Churchill Downs. Part of Churchill's Stars of Tomorrow program, the $300,000 Spendthrift Stallion Stakes will be contested at 7 furlongs on the main track and is exclusive to any Spendthrift sired two-year-old anywhere in North America, with half of the purse being distributed to the owners of the placed horses and the other half given to the breeders of the first through fourth place finishers. Don't miss the inaugural running of the Spendthrift Stallion Stakes October 30th at Churchill Downs.
Make plans to be at Santa Anita over the three-day weekend, as we'll have special Columbus Day racing on Monday, October 10th, which is also Dollar Day. Fans, our two-day autumn handicapping contest kicks off today, so go to SantaAnita.com and sign up now. On Saturday, top sprinters will compete in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Sprint Championship, and we'll also have the Grade 2 City of Hope Mile on turf. First post time this Saturday, Sunday, and Monday is at 12:30, Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
As New Money Honey pulls away, New Money Honey and Javier Castellano have won the Miss Grillo.
New Money Honey earned her first career victory this past weekend, breaking her maiden in the Grade 3 Miss Grillo Stakes at Belmont Park. And that winning effort makes the daughter of Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is ranked among the nation's elite sires once again in 2016 by number of Grade 1 winners, graded winners, and black type winners. New Money Honey became Medaglia d'Oro's 11th group or graded winner in 2016 and is now a likely entrant for the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies and is now a likely entrant for the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf next month at Santa Anita. And Medaglia d'Oro's undefeated champion Songbird will start in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Distaff. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they hit the top of the stretch, it's Recruiting Ready in front. Tip Tap Tap Azar coming with a challenge, though, a length and a half behind, and Classic Empire has moved in to be third as they head for the final furlong. But Recruiting Ready turns back. Tip Tap Tap Azar is going to have to fend off Classic Empire, who's coming with a bold late bid with a 16th to go. Recruiting Ready by two. Classic Empire a length behind, half a length. Now he's ahead. Now he's in front. Classic Empire nails Recruiting Ready on the wire. Tip Tap Tapizar was third, and Boys from Boston was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penn and Jude Feld visiting with our handicappers of Steve Castagnola, John Gasper here in our Lexington studios, and Classic Empire, the call from Travis Stone, winning the Grade 3 Bashford Manor at Churchill back on July 2nd. He's the 5-2 morning line favorite in this afternoon's Claiborne Breeders Futurity, a race you're going to hear with us beginning 4 o'clock Eastern time on the network, 4 to 6 Eastern, Sirius XM 93, and worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And don't forget to join us tonight, 9 to 11 Eastern time. Anthony Stabile and Anthony Affronti will bring you all the action of the West Virginia Breeders Classic at Charlestown. So make sure you tune in to HRN all night long. You can visit horseracingradio.net for that entire broadcast schedule. All right, the Grade 1 First Lady is race number 7 at Keeneland this afternoon. Purse of $400,000. It's for the fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, and they're going to go 1 mile on a turf course that figures to be firm later this afternoon. Stevie, field of 10, how'd you see it?
Well, we're privileged to see the great mare Teppin run today. 13 wins in 21 starts. She's now earned a little over $4 million. She's won 8 graded stakes races in a row. 5 of those have been grade 1. She's 3-3 at Keeneland. She's 7-8 going a mile. And she's the best turf. She might be the best miler in the world. She's certainly the best turf filly and mare miler by a mile. You know, last time out, she went to Royal Ascot and won the prestigious Queen Anne Stakes. The British public let her go off at 5-1 that day. That was June at Royal Ascot. And she showed her courage that day. The turf course was listed as soft. It wasn't ideal for her. And she showed what tremendous heart she has and what a champion she is. She came back and ran in the Woodbine Mile last time against the boys. She's beaten up on the boys a few different times. She hit the gate, she stumbled, she was 2-3 wide, and just held on. She won by half a length under Leperu. And the scary thing is that the barn, Norm and Mark Cassie afterwards felt like maybe they didn't have her quite cranked up for that Woodbine Mile. And if that's the case, it's scary what she may do today. But she's a deserving 2-5 favorite. Mark Cassie and his team, Norm, they've done such a fantastic job managing the filly. Rob Masterson, the owner, has been a real sport in taking her over there to Royal Ascot. And it's a privilege to see mares of this quality run. Deuce Greathouse picked her out, I believe, as a yearling. What a great job he did. If there was anybody that may give her a run or a slight scare, the 8-horse Celestine for Bill Mott. It's interesting. She last ran on the 11th of June in the Just a Game Grade 1 Stakes. She ran a career best 107 by her speed figure and then took the summer off. I don't know if something happened out of that race. I can't imagine when you run that type of effort with 107 by her why you would take the summer off. But she comes back here. She's the second choice at 4-1. But maybe somebody to throw in the exotics would be the 3-year-old filly Nemoralia coming over for Jeremy Nasida. She's been over this side of the pond a few different times, daughter of More Than Ready. She was purchased as a weanling by a good friend of mine, Ben Berger, terrific horseman. I did a fantastic job picking her out as a weanling. And I was around the filly at the farm. She was a lovely filly. She sold for $170,000 as a 2-year-old. Maybe she can chase Teppin, but I think I think in this race you sit back and you put your hands together, you clap, and just hopefully she'll give us a jaw-dropping performance. But she's something else, and very excited to see her run.
Well, the only filly that might have a chance of beating her, I think, is Celestine. Go wire to wire. You know, we saw that happen with Flincher. If the favorite has too much to do, Celestine could sneak away, but you know, there's no reason to think Teppin won't win again.
Yeah, Teppin 2-5 on the morning line in that Grade 1 First Lady at Keeneland. And post time 4:35 Eastern for that 1 mile test, and we'll see if Tepping can indeed pull it off later today. All right, the Grade One Claiborne Breeders Futurity follows that race. It is race number 8, post time 5:10 Eastern, mile and a 16th on the main track, and the 2-year-old boys in the spotlight here. Again, your 5-2 morning line favorite is Classic Empire. Johnny, I don't know. It, to me, maybe a bit of a head scratcher. How'd you see it?
Well, see, Le Preux's back on him. He's the only one that's been able to stay on him. There's, you see, his last race, you remember if you saw it at Saratoga, he wheeled coming right out of the gate. I mean, took a hard right, and Irad Ortiz was on him that day, and luckily held on to him, so it didn't affect the race in any way as far as the rest of the field went. But if you look back, he's had some problems around the gate. His first start, he's only run three times, but, well, actually finished twice, but he's been at the post three times.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was off slowly his first start. He came back and won it, and that was Churchill Downs back in May. And then he had problems. He ducked in at the start his next race at Churchill, but he won that anyway. And then, of course, like I say, it's up there at the Saratoga, he wheeled at the start, and I mean like right now too. He didn't take three jumps out of there, and he was gone. So they're adding blinkers on him today. That's going to be interesting. Maybe that's something that is going to straighten him out. But you always have a, I mean, there is a horse on the outside of him today. So they break in front of the grandstand also today. So that's going to be all new experience. Everything's going to be a new experience for him. Blinkers. Breaking way on the outside, and of course you know how close the people are to the outside rail there, and you know, he's obviously got serious talent, and I guess that's why he's still 5-2 on the morning line. But as we found out yesterday with the 2-year-old fillies, 2-year-olds, they change so much this time of year. I mean, horses, you know, that maybe the light bulb hadn't gone on yet, they've had time to mature a little bit during the summer in early fall, and it's now is the time to, like, if you're going to say take a chance on with the horse, like you know, first times, like a horse says, like Singing Bullet, for instance. I mean, he only ran one time at Ellis, and he won. That was back in, you know, like around Labor Day there, going short. But you know, he's bred to go long. A Life at 10 was obviously a good horse. You know, so I mean, a horse like that going to be big price, and you know, he may have a chance. I mean, he might have a chance if looks. I'm sure they wouldn't bring him over if didn't think he had somewhat of a chance. Graham talked about his horse, Holiday Bonus. Didn't really do a whole lot wrong, you know, just got beat a neck in the sapling. That was first time around two turns. I'm sure he'll benefit from that. So, you know, another big price, probably 8-10 to 1. Who knows what it'll be, but of course. But Jude talking about him might not be that much. You know, but and then,
Pope
of course,
Jude.
The outside horse looking at Lee, looking at Lucky Colt by that Steve Asmussen has, you know, he's run some pretty good races too. I mean, he's had now 4 starts, and he's had a couple wins. His last start in the Iroquois over there in the mud around 2 turns. So that's going to be beneficial to him. The horse that kind of disappointed me at Saratoga was the 1 horse by Tooman. I thought that horse was a really, really good horse. And what happened last time, I don't really know. But he draws the inside today. If he can break and get some kind of position, I still haven't given up on this horse. I still think that he's a horse that is going to be a horse that's going to have a good chance to
Is that Eddie Keneally calling you?
It is, probably.
Hey, we told you he was a good horse.
It's either Eddie Keneally or the bookmaker.
Yeah. Well, you heard Eddie's clip earlier in the show talking about Bachuman and how he thought he was going to be better going 2 turns. They've always thought he would be a root type of horse, and he's by Mineshaft out of a Tale of the Catmare, right. So why not?
Right, and so I'm going to make him my top choice because I like the way he's, you know, I like the way he trained at Saratoga. Why he didn't run that well, I don't know. But, I mean, he did win. He obviously won the Sanford. But when they stretched him out to 7/8, I thought, well, this is what he really wants anyway. But he just never really fired that much. But he's going to be my top choice at 9-2 by Tooman. And like I say, anybody else, Larry Kelly brought this horse, Gwen Vera, the two horse up for Antonio Sano. If probably most people aren't familiar with Larry, that's TJ Kelly's son. And he lives down in Florida now, and he brought this horse up for Sano. And this horse is, I mean, he's done not too much wrong either. He's kind of got his game together his last few starts. It would be his first time around two turns, but Dialed In has gotten a lot of two-year-old winners this year. So I wouldn't count. I mean, it's going to be a wide-open race, but again, I'm going to say with the one horse, By Tooman is my top choice.
Yeah, and speaking of that horse too, John, the horse that beat him last time in that hopeful Practical Joke is going to go in the Grade 1 Champagne at Belmont earlier in the day. That goes before the Breeders' Futurity. So keep an eye on that horse. If he wins easily, maybe a reason to upgrade Bitumen in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity as well. We're going to talk about that Champagne coming up in the next segment. But, Stevie, quick comment on the Breeders' Futurity.
Well, there's a colt in here I really like, and that's the Three Singing Bullet. Dale Roman stopped taking his two-year-olds to Saratoga a few years ago. He didn't find it necessary to make them run so hard to run against these tough horses early in their lives. So the fact that this horse debuted at Ellis Park does not concern me one bit. He was very well meant that day and was very, very professional. This horse is held in high regard at the barn, out of the Grade 1 winning mare Life at 10. He adds Lasix today, and this is a pretty serious horse. And 8-1 on Singing Bullet, I'm going to make him my selection with a star in the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity.
Yeah, Dina Springs bred, owned by Stronach Stables, and of course the son of Darley Stallion Hard Spun. Singing Bullet going to the post in that Breeders' Futurity at odds of 8-1 on the morning line. All right, finally, guys, just a couple of minutes here to dive into the Grade 1 Shadwell Turf Mile. Stevie, we'll throw it to you for this one. $1 million and a win in your end for the Breeders' Cup Mile Division. And, of course, 1 mile on the turf. Who wins it?
Well, you know, the 10 tourist is probably going to take a lot of play. He's son of Tisnow really rounded into form here lately. Back-to-back impressive efforts, running 107 and 109 buyer speed figure. Those two buyer speed figures are higher than any other horse's last two, gives him the double buyer advantage. The 7, Miss Temple City, we heard Graham speak about. She's been lucky in her last few starts, a filly with a ton of class. I think this race is wide open. The 4, Mondelist, maybe the mile could be a little too short. But why is the 3, Tower of Texas, 20-1? This is the horse that got within half a length of Tepin last time in the Woodbine Mile. 20-1 for Roger Atfield, who's always dangerous coming into Keeneland. Gets Julian Leperoux, one of the best turf riders in the country. Horse ran within half a length of Tepin last time, is 20-1 on the morning line. I like about 5 of them in here, but if I were to make a selection, 20-1 on Tower of Texas is just too big a price for me to pass.
Who'd you pick to win it, Pontiff?
I picked Ironicus.
I'm with you.
My man Shug.
Yeah,
who I think is one of the best turf horses in the United States.
And he's had a race now. If you notice, he hadn't run since May or June, you know, and Shug, believe me, he ain't sending him down here just for the heck of it.
Yeah, Ironicus, the son of Distorted Humor, 4-1 on the morning line under
mare,
Jose.
That mare, it might be like the mare of the year. She's had about 6 stakes winners, Megan's Joy. She just keeps cranking them out.
Unbelievable. All right, the Shadwell Turf Mile, 5:45 Eastern. All part of our coverage this afternoon on HRN from 4 to 6 Eastern, as are the Winning Your In races from Belmont Park. We're going to tell you about those when we return on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 4:40 and 2:20.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back.
Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Make plans to be at Santa Anita over the three-day weekend as we'll have special Columbus Day racing on Monday, October 10th, which is also Dollar Day. Fans, our two-day autumn handicapping contest kicks off today, so go to santaanita.com and sign up now. On Saturday, top sprinters will compete in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Sprint Championship, and we'll also have the Grade 2 City of Hope Mile on turf. First post time this Saturday, Sunday, and Monday is at 12:30, Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Ramsey Farms Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire to visit there with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by three.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world-class.
Tarif takes him on, and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards, Hawkfield just going on to win the Eclipse.
Kitten's Joy, a world-class sire, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
3/16 to go. Take the stand. Here comes Dovio. Right there on the outside, Mondial East. World Approval still battling. Kasaki makes a split. They come inside the final half furlong. They gain by Greengrass of Wyoming. It's Mondial East. Mondial East has come away with the Arlington Million. Kasaki was second. Right there, Dovio for third. It was in the final strides, Mondial East in the Arlington Million in 2 minutes 1 4/5 seconds. Mondial East came and conquered.
John Dooley with a call of the Arlington Million. That was a race you heard right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network on August 13th, and Mondial East defeating Kasaki in that Million. They'll get a rematch later this afternoon in the Shadwell Turf Mile at Keeneland. And we talked about that race in the previous segment. We'll turn our attention to the big races at Belmont Park this afternoon, right after we remind you that on Sunday, October 16th, you can watch and wager on the Pattison Canadian International live from Woodbine Racetrack as the best horses from around the globe compete for a purse of $1 million on the world-renowned E.P. Taylor Turf Course. Woodbine will be offering large guarantees of $150,000 on early pick fours and $250,000 on the late pick four. Plus, you can play 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools that afternoon. And while you're there, why not give the jackpot high five a go? A wager offering huge potential for big pool payouts and a mandatory payout following the last race of the day. Watch and wager on the Pattison Canadian International Sunday, October 16th. Post time, 1 p.m. Eastern. For more information, just visit WoodbineRacetrack.com. That's going to be a good race.
Absolutely. Love Woodbine.
Some good races at Belmont today, too. And the Greatest Stakes action kicks off with race number 4, believe it or not, the Grade 1 Frisette. 1:53 Eastern is the post, 1 mile on the main track. And, Johnny, I believe you are up, my friend.
Yeah, and only drew a field of 7, which kind of surprised me. But, and of course, like I say, it is on the main track. I'm going to, first horse I'm going to talk about is Tamarca's. I think that's the way you spell it, or pronounce it, rather. He's a 6-year-old Spicetown horse trained by Karen McLaughlin.
Is that the Frisette? Are we looking at the Frisette?
No.
This is the
Frisette. Oh, did I start early?
The Kelso, right?
Oh, what race is the Kelso? The third, right?
What's the fifth race?
Fifth race.
That's the first Belmont.
Yeah, oh. Kelso's the fifth. The Frisette's the fourth.
Oh, you want to do the Frisette? Okay. Well, anyway, all right. It does it, that even drew a shorter field. Five.
That's even easier.
I'll do the Frisette, John. You stay with the Kelso. The Frisette, I see speed on the inside with the one Sky Gestures, 2-1. Speed on the outside, Colorful Charades. And Nana Mella goes in here. She's done nothing wrong her last two starts, winning by a combined 13 lengths. But there's a filly in here I like, the 4 Yellow Agate. Agate, thank you. I was struggling with that.
Christoph.
2-year-old daughter of gemologist, the stallion I'm very high on. Jude had mentioned Christoph as a 2-year-old trainer. This filly came from out of the clouds last time. Should appreciate the extra 2 furlongs here going the 1/3 mile. And I think under Manny Franco, this filly's extremely live. I sure wish I had her at 32-1 when she broke her maiden. But in the Frisette, I'm going to make Yellow Agate number 4 my selection to come from off the pace.
Agate.
She's by gemologist. Agate is a...
It's the accent.
It's like a shiny rock. They polish them up and they're beautiful. They have like different
that
colors.
That makes sense
in them.
As a daughter of gemologist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Name of the
day. Amateur gemologist.
All right, that's the grade 1 Frisette, which does go as race 4, 153 Eastern. Will be followed by that grade 2 Kelso that Johnny was touching on a moment ago. Field of 7 in this race, purse of $350,000. Johnny, 1 mile on that turf course at, or on the main track,
main
I'm sorry,
track.
At Belmont.
You guys are so confused.
Yeah, I got it now. I'm up to speed.
All right, well, Karen's got a 6-year-old horse by Spice Town in there by the name of...
Tarmer Coos,
okay, whatever that means. But he's run some pretty good races. He doesn't like to win, but I don't think this is a real tough race. I mean, as far as this race usually comes up pretty good, and I don't think it's that tough this time around. So I'm going to give him a pretty good chance in there. Right outside of him is Rick Violet's horse, Upstart, who's been a wonderful horse for him. He's just been a tremendous horse. He's made almost $1 million, a little over $1.7 million, I believe it is. And he kind of fell on some hard times here. I saw him running the Razorback down there, and I thought, boy, he's going to have a really big year. And then he ran back in the Oaklawn Handicap, and he just ran okay. And then he came back and they ran him up in Belmont, and he ran kind of got beat a long way. And, of course, that was the day that Frosted just, like, exploded and won by 14 lengths, and he got beat 15, so he was only going to beat a little bit for second. And Saratoga, he came to the Whitney, and he ran a pretty good race. He was third beaten, too. Now, if he runs that race back, for sure, I think he's the winner. Flatter's been a very good, solid sire. And I'm going to make him my top choice Upstart over a little bit over Kieran's horse, only because I think that he's got more of a will to win Upstart does, and he's already proven that he's a major, major player in New York. So I'm going to give him a little bit of a chance.
Jude, do we get any points if Ocean Knight wins this race in our Derby League?
Our points
he
expired.
He was our number one draft pick. What, yeah. Last year? 2 years? Last year.
Last year. And then
for number one draft pick for the Derby?
The Derby Fantasy League at Churchill Downs.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We always end up with like pick number 14 in a 14-horse field, so we have to be creative. We actually finished fourth this year with some amazing picks. We had Creator and somebody else that did
that. Horse, I mean, Curlin's on fire, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, he's by Curlin, and he's another horse. He runs good. He just doesn't seem like, you know, I mean, when, you know, if he does win, he wins by a head, but most of the time he's right there, and he's kind of a horse that anybody would love to have because he's going to certainly pay his way, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, never been off the board. Well, once. Only been off the board once in 8 lifetime starts, so. Ocean Knight has his hands full, though, in that grade 2 Kelso later this afternoon. All right, Stevie, let's turn our attention back to you, my friend, with the grade 1 Flower Bowl, which is race number 6 at Belmont this afternoon. This one, 1.25 miles, and yeah, it's on the turf course. It's for the fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, and another short field here, a field of 6.
A field of 6, and I think you can draw your attention to the 4, 5, and 6 in here, but the 5, Lady Eli, just an amazing story, a filly that basically fought for her life had a very unfortunate situation of stepping on a nail one morning and developed a severe case of laminitis and really was touch and go whether she would survive. An amazing job by everybody who laid their hands on her to get her back where she was. She returned off of more than a year layoff last time out in the Boston Spa and was just beaten three quarters of a length. You'd have to think that she needed that last race. She was previously undefeated. She's a top, top shelf daughter of Divine Park. And it's just great to see her back racing, first of all. But I think she'll be tough to beat in here. And the other two are to her inside, Senorita Italia's a filly that's always been kind of knocking on the door in these big races. And C. Khaleesi won the Beverly D last time out. Obviously has the credentials to win this for Chad Brown. But Lady Eli's my selection, somewhat of a sentimental pick too.
All right, the Grade 1 Flower Bowl comes up at 3:03 Eastern Time at Belmont Park this afternoon.
One little thing that was interesting to me is the one horse in there for Andre Fobb. She's never raced in the United States, and usually when they bring those horses over, there's a reason that, maybe they're bleeding or something over there, but she is not running on LASIK.
Yeah.
And she hadn't been running against the best horses over, don't get me wrong, but I just thought that was, and then Oliver Peslier coming over to ride her, it's kind of a, what the heck here, it is a win and you're in thing, and if she were to run really big or win, obviously maybe they're thinking Breeders' Cup. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how she performs, though.
All right, we're going to find out shortly after 3 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon. This segment, of course, Road to the Breeders' Cup, all presented by our friends at Gainsway. Let's step away for a quick word from Gainsway. We'll come back with more analysis of the Belmont Stakes on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Power.
But Frosted has won with ease in the Whitney.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destined right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
Ready City Dancer and Sweet Loretta together in the spinaway.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet, a two-time champion sire and once again number one in 2016, more than $5 million clear on the general sire list. Tappet added to his lofty totals with two new Grade 1 winners in the spinaway at Saratoga as his daughters, Sweet Loretta and Pretty City Dancer, dead-heated for the Grade 1 victory. And Tappet's son, Tapazar, now has a first crop stakes winner as Tip Tap Tapazar closed impressively to take Monmouth's Sapling Stakes. Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tapazar retired sound and is represented by eight individual first crop two-year-old winners to date. Tappet and Tapazar, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Mike Pettijud-Feld visiting with our guest handicappers, John Gasper and Steve Castagnola, in our Lexington studios here on the Equine Forum. Guys, a few more races we're going to get to here at Belmont Park, including the Grade 1 Champagne. That carries a purse of $500,000. It is for the two-year-olds, and it will be run at 1 mile on the main track. It is race number 8, and we're going to talk about that one right after we tell folks that if they're planning to be at Santa Anita for this year's Breeders' Cup, well, you'll want to be sure to enhance your race day experience with one of our HRRN live sports radios. That's right. You can simply look for one of our black and gold kiosks when you get to the track. Pick up a free live sports radio that allows you to hear our HRN team wherever you may be. Well, on site at Santa Anita for racing's championship days, we'll bring you exclusive interviews, analysis, and selections for every Breeders' Cup race as you enjoy your day at the races. So don't miss out. Supplies are limited to just 1,500 radios. Stop by and pick up your HRRN live sports radio at the Breeders' Cup. All right, guys, the Grade 1 Champagne. Johnny, go ahead, take it away.
Chad's got them bookend here, and this in a short field, another short field, five-horse field. The one horse, as you spoke, we mentioned earlier, Practical Joke. He's an intermischief colt that has done nothing wrong. I mean, he's 2 for 2. He won the hopeful his last start, and that was a really good – I thought that was a real gutty race by that horse that day. I thought he just gutted it out. Rosario's riding this horse today. Of course, Jose Ortiz is coming down to here in Kentucky, so he's riding here. So he wouldn't have been able to ride that horse, but I don't think it makes any difference with him. I think probably the worst thing about him is he drew the one post, but the outside horse, another flatter colt of Chad's. He's one for one, won pretty easily his only start. Javier Castellano back aboard him again today.
Yeah, favorable outcome.
Yeah, and I think that the distance is, I mean, I think these flatters want to go a little further. I think that's going to sit right into his, he'll be able to sit outside and kind of stalk him. And of course, the three-horse Syndergaard, who just annihilated a bunch of New York breds up there, if you recall. I mean, it was muddy that day, but, I mean, he just drew off. So it's going to be interesting to see what he can do against these open company horses. He's run two state bred races and, like say, beat his competition pretty easily. I'm really torn between the one and the outside horse, but I'm going to give the one the best chance, Practical Joke. I just think that because of his race, he's got a little more experience, and he gutted it out so well his last start that I'm going to give him the best chance, number one, Practical Joke.
All right, Practical Joke and the Champagne. Stevie, real quick, you have a quick comment?
I think, well, if you look to the six, actually, his outside horse, Big Gray Rocket for Bob Baffert, a son of Tappet. He was 1-2 on debut. He was off slowly, missed the break, got beat a length and a half. He was 3-5 next time out. He did everything right. Bob Baffert coming to New York with Mike Smith riding. Sound familiar? 6-1, Big Gray Rocket and the Champagne.
Big Gray Rocket, who, by the way, beat Budokan in that race, in
yes,
case you're wondering.
He beat Budokan twice.
so he's got to be good.
He's been working with Lord Nelson, too, so that kind of tells you what kind of horse he is.
Yeah, yeah. All right, guys, only about 3.5 minutes left here in the program, so let's do this. Steve, let's skip the Hill Prince. We're going to go right to the Win and You're In Jockey Club Gold Cup. I'll throw a curveball at you here. Mile and a quarter on the main track. It's a field of six. The post time for the Gold Cup, 5:23 Eastern, and again, that's a race you're going to hear with us on the radio later this afternoon, Sirius XM 93 and streaming horseracingradio.net. All that coverage beginning 4 o'clock Eastern time.
Well, if there's a horse that's due to win a big race and deserves to, it's the two Muptahij for Kieran McLaughlin. This horse, 8-5 morning line, he's right there every single time. I think he's a world-class horse. Irish-bred son of Dubawi. And for me, Muptahij gets his deserved Grade 1 win today in the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
Yeah, interesting. Has not won since bursting onto the scene with that UAE Derby victory back in March of 2015. Since that time, he is, what, 0-4-7? Looks like. Yeah, so Muptahij looking to get back to the winner's circle here today.
I'm going to go with Jimmy's horse, Jimmy Jerkins, FNX. I think he's just one of them solid horses. He gives you pretty much a run every time. And I was reading an article the other day where Jimmy said he's, you know, he's about as good as he hopes he could get. So I'm going to go with FNX.
Well, you know, FNX should win this race. He's the best horse in the race, but he's about as reliable as a Gulfstream Park post time.
yeah.
This is the worst Jockey Club Gold Cup that I've ever seen. I mean, this race is...
It's funny. I said the same thing when I looked at
it. It's not even a good Grade 2. It's a shame that more horses didn't point for this one. I mean, there's a lot of horses that could have won this race around the country. This race is pretty pitiful.
Yeah, and all the short fields in New York today going to make the wagering opportunities kind of tough up there in New York. Yeah. Keeneland's really, if you're looking at the wagering opportunities, Keeneland, Santa Anita, those are the places to be in terms of the greatest stakes action today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the only person with more pressure on him today than Julian Leperu and Tepin is Mark Stoops today at Commonwealth for Vanderbilt. So,
no pressure there. Not expected to win.
Well, guys, been a lot of fun. Just a couple of minutes left here before we have to wrap it up. We'll see what happens. We may have to call an audible with next week's program. I'll let you know what's happening there. And if not, we'll be back together the following week and talk more Breeders' Cup and Breeders' Cup Challenge.
Sounds good. Everybody coming out to the races. Looks like another beautiful day.
Should be fast and firm at Keeneland.
Oh, yeah. It'll be fast, all right. Bet on that.
And it'll be firm.
Johnny, appreciate it, bud.
All right, thank you.
All right, and JT, we want to thank all of our guests who appeared on the program today, and that includes jockey Julian Leperu, trainer Graham Motion, and, of course, Steve and Johnny for taking the time here in the second half of the program. If folks missed any portion of this show, it's pretty simple. All they have to do is go back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and the podcast will be available for you to listen to at your leisure.
I thought you were going to say consider yourself lucky.
Did you miss the portion of the chef? I don't know. Hey, let's see if we can help people make money.
That's right. That's our goal in life. We want everybody to make money.
Yeah, we'll see if we can pull it off. And, of course, this afternoon we'll bring you that coverage of all the Breeders' Cup Challenge action from Keeneland, from Belmont, 4 to 6 Eastern. Make sure you're tuned in right here on Sirius XM 93 and streaming at horseracingradio.net. Anywhere in the world, listeners in more than 170 countries have made us their home for racing coverage. Make sure you do the same, all at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter. You ready for this afternoon?
I'm ready. I wish we were starting immediately. And then I could start drinking, take the rest of the day off.
You have to wait for the races to start.
I don't want to wait till 4 o'clock. I want to do it now. That's how they designed Keeneland, was to have racing in the morning and a picnic in the afternoon. That's the way we should do it.
Let's get it going. All right, for our producer, Sean C., doing a great job in studio and handling all of our social media. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. We'll talk to you next time. And hey, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.